Thank you. Very good morning to everybody. If you're here for the first time or the umpteenth time, you're very, very welcome.
I have a couple of notices. It's my lucky thing to announce that Anna gave birth to a baby girl on Friday at 12:21, and now I'm going on a, and I was told it's 7.2. That could be grams, tons, whatever. I'm guessing it's pounds and ounces, but that wasn't put on. Another announcement is, for those of you who have children in church who want to make a noise or walk around, please don't be embarrassed. It is a joy and a pleasure to have the children in the church, and don't worry at all if they actually don't sit there quietly throughout. Okay. Let's start in prayer. Lord, we thank you for bringing us here this morning, Lord. We particularly thank you for the safe arrival of Nathan and Anna's daughter. And we pray that you will be with them at this time and will give them the joy that comes with new children, Lord. And we pray that what we say here today, Lord, and what we sing, Lord, will be pleasing to you, Lord. Amen. Now, I did think we would probably do the birthday box. Are there any youngsters around who've had a birthday this week, next week? No? Any? This year? Oh, right. That saves me having to get up. Are there any adults with birthdays? Oh.
Oh, in that case.
Well, we will sing you a happy birthday then, so that we don't miss. Now for just a quick reading from James chapter 1, verses 2 to 8. And this is concerns trials and temptations, which is sort of fits into the sermon. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. The songs I've chosen this morning are pretty much about thanking God for everything, really. And we're going to start with There's a Place.
There's a place we because of you. Because of you. Because of your love.
And before we come to communion, we'll sing the goodness of God.
Your goodness is running out. It's
Amen. What a good God we serve, church. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to come here for communion. And before we get to communion and before David prays for us, I just want to just quickly share something. And what was laid on my heart just previously was from Philippians 2 verse 12. And it's that bit that says in there that to continue to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And the reason I wanted to share that is that we need to really, really understand that this table that we're coming to is not something that we should muck about with. This represents what Jesus did for us. And when we come to this table, we come with our right hearts. We come with our right minds. So before we do communion, and when David prays, let's just get our hearts and our minds right before God. And let's do communion together. But let's just think about that. Wherever your week's been, whatever you've gone through this week, whatever you might not have gone through this week, it might have been a great week. But let's get our hearts right. Let's get our minds right before God as we take this communion. So I'm going to invite David up to pray for us first.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for an opportunity such as this to share in the communion meal. We thank you for what it means to us. We thank you, Lord, for what you mean to us, what you give to us on a daily basis. We thank you for all the many blessings. We thank you particularly, Lord, for those spiritual blessings and for eternal life because of what Jesus has done there on that cross. And Father, this morning, as we share together, we ask that you will help us to examine ourselves. Your word tells us that this is what we should do before we eat and drink. And so, Father, we just pray that although we are sinners, we thank you for the fact that you have shown your love to us as we've been singing, the goodness of God. We thank you for that. And Father, as we come in repentance again, to ask forgiveness for those things that we've said, done and thought wrong. We ask, Lord, that you will just cleanse us from those sins and that we might be able to take this meal aright as we seek to bless you and praise you for your love to us in so many different ways. We thank you for the death and the resurrection of our Saviour. And because of that, we can share in this meal together. So we give you our thanks this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, David. So the scripture I'm going to be reading from is Matthew 26, 26 to 28. It says, now they were eating, Jesus took bread. And after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples. Take, eat. This is my body. And as the bread comes round, please take that straight away and we will have the wine together. And if you're not a Christian, please let these pass you by. Amen. You need your wine too. Amen. We're just keeping that right heart and in that right mind, remembering everything that Jesus has done for us. He is a good God. He's a loving God. He is the King of Kings. And He is the Lord of Lords. He is the name above every single name. That is the God that we serve, church. That's the God that we serve. He's a God that's always on time. Even when we think He's delayed, He's always on time. Waiting for upstairs. And then He took a cup, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." If you receive this, please hold it, and we're going to take this together as one body. Isn't it amazing that the God we serve has forgiven our past sins, our present sins, sins you will commit in the future, because trust me, you will commit them. It's almost guaranteed to some degree. But yet, Jesus said, "I paid for them all." Every fault, every action, every sin hidden in the closets, the ones that we do not want people to see, Jesus has paid with His blood for all of them. And He has set us free. For he who is free indeed. We are free, church. Free from bondage. Because of what Jesus did. And I'm so glad that we serve a God that it's not all about you and what you have to do and what you have to be, but it's a God that poured out His whole life and His whole being for us and said, "All you've got to do is believe in who I am. Believe that what I did on the cross is true, and you will be saved." And we are saved, church. And we serve an amazing God. Because of what Jesus did, we find healing, physical healing, spiritual healing, mental healing because of what Jesus did on the cross. And we should be excited to serve such a king at this table. Amen. And we're going to take this as one body in unity. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do. We are the church who have been set free. Amen? Amen. And we're going to take this together and we're going to remember that as we go throughout our walk. Amen. Amen. I'm going to hand back to the worship team.
We're going to return to song now. The children might like to stay in for the first song, which is My Lighthouse, because I think a lot of the youth know this one very well. But if they then like to sort of make their way out for their own services, that'd be great. Okay, so we'll sing My Lighthouse.
To show, safe to shore, safe to shore, safe to shore.
We're now going to sing the song which we sang right at the beginning, which is a new song to us. But it is all about the love of God. So please join in once you know the tune.
What us could ever dream, the God who set the galaxies in motion would descend to give his life for me. For what could make perfection bleed for sinners? What leads a king's obey so great? Oh, my new life, my heart will sing the answer. Only the love of God. Oh, how great is the love of God. He paid our debt on the rugged cross. For all our days, we will sing our Savior's praise. Is the love of God. So kind, it leads us to repentance. It's so bright, the darkness has to flee. Hallelujah, he cleared my guilty sentence. For I was bound, but now I stand redeemed. Oh, I can break the chains of any prison. What force could walk the power from the grave? What war will trade my rocks for heaven's riches? Only the love of God. Singing, oh, how great is the love of God. He paid our debt on the rugged cross. For all our days, we will sing Savior's praise. How great is the love of God. Too marvelous for words, and I could sing a million songs about it and barely scratch the surface of your world. And all my life the banner I'll be waving, my anthem cry, no matter what may come. And when I rise streets of heaven, I'll still be singing in the song. For everything that you have done, everything you have done, yeah. Singing, oh, how great is the love of God. He paid our debt. red cross. For all our days, we will sing our Savior's praise. How great is the love of God. Singing, oh, how great is the love of God. He paid our debt on the rugged cross. For all our days, we will sing our Savior's praise. How great is the love of God. How great is the love of God. Thank you, Jesus.
Now, before David comes to speak to us, there is a history to this next song, when the music fades, which sort of feeds into what David's going to be speaking about. Matt Redman's church, at one stage, decided that they were just too much into the praise and worship. And they actually, this is not a suggestion for the deacons here, they actually decided not to have praise and worship music in their services for a short period. And this is the song which Matt Redman wrote either just before or during that sort of period. And it basically talks about putting too much store by one thing. So he said, I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, when it's all about you, Jesus. So when the music fades.
Music fades, hope is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's the word that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song. For a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm so in love for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. King of endless world, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours. Every single breath I'll bring you more than a song. For a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm so in love for the thing I made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm so in love for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
Before we look into God's Word, I've got a message from Nathan. He's asked me to read it to you. It says, Anna and I want to express our heartfelt gratitude to the wonderful church family who have been an incredible source of support over the last 9 months. Through your prayers and encouraging words, you have made the journey one which we will always cherish and look back on with gratitude. On Friday the 19th of September, our daughter Alessia Antoinette Rosalind Gordon was born at 12:21 p.m. weighing 7 pounds 2 ounces. Alessia and Mum are both well and enjoying lots of snuggles. We look forward to seeing you all soon. God bless. Love, Nathan, Anna and Alessia. So you've got the names there as well. So continue to pray for them. Assume at the moment, from what we hear, that Anna is still in hospital and will be home sometime next week. Let's start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Nathan and Anna and Alessia, and we pray for them that you will continue to give them, to strengthen them and to use them, and that, Lord, as Alessia grows up, she will grow up knowing you because of Nathan and Anna, but that she will one day make that choice for herself, that one day she will become a child of yours into your family by accepting you as her saviour. So Father, we just continue to pray for them as they see this young life grow up. Lord, help them as they bring this child up, and help us as a church fellowship to continue to pray for them. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to start with a story. There was a pastor who took on a new church. It was a church that had about 30 or 40 members. But soon after he started this work, he realised there were problems. Certain people wanted their own way. There were disagreements, there were challenges, there were arguments. And so he decided he would take a four-part sermon on the word joy. And the first letter, of course, is J, and so his first sermon was on Jesus, and said Jesus should come first. God should come first in all things. The following week, there was a similar theme to the sermon, but with a slightly different emphasis, and he used the letter O, and brought the word others. Others should come second after Jesus. The following week, the third week, there was the letter Y. And again, a similar sermon with a different emphasis on the word yourself. And on the fourth week, he took an overall subject of the word joy, saying Jesus first, others second, yourself last. At the end of that sermon, the fourth week, somebody came up to him and said, didn't you preach a similar sermon last week? And he said, this week, last week, the week before, and the week before. And he said, I may continue to do that until we as a church put Jesus first, others second, yourself last. We've got to get things in the right order. Now, of course, that's perhaps just a story. But why am I telling you about a repetition of a series, of a sermon? Well, some of you may know that Nathan has chosen for our first Sunday evening services of the month to look at the seven churches in Revelation. And we've looked at one or two, and we're going through to the end of the year, to December, looking at the others. So if you can get to an evening service, particularly that first Sunday one, it would be great, because we're learning a lot from these churches that are mentioned in Revelation. We're going to have a look at one that we have already looked at one of the evening services, and it's the one at Ephesus. And it's before the second chapter, we read that John was on the Isle of Patmos. He'd been exiled there. And he was told to write to the church in Ephesus, as well as six other churches. Now, I don't think this belongs just to the church at Ephesus. I'm sure we all believe that the whole of the scripture is inspired by God and is for teaching for all of us. And so when we look at this church at Ephesus, I want us to see how we fit in, see how we stand up to scrutiny. Let's read from Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. To the angel of the church in Ephesus, write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name, and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things that you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favour. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Now this is the first of seven churches that are mentioned there. So, what are we, as we concentrate on Ephesus, what are we learning from it this morning? Well, first of all, we see that God says, I know you're a busy church. You keep the faith even in difficult times. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans. This group mentioned twice, once here commended by God and once rebuked by God at the church of Pergamum, who agreed with the Nicolaitans. They were obviously teaching and engaging in practices which were contrary to the values of the early church. So there was a lot of good that they were commended for. Let's briefly have a look at some of the things, and on your notice sheet, if you have a notice sheet, and God commends them for their service. He talks about what is right with the church, and he commends them for their work, their labour, and their patience. Now, if we'd gone to this church in Ephesus on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening, they probably wouldn't have had the luxury of a notice sheet or a magazine that we have. But I'm sure we would have heard of the lots of activities and opportunities for service. Now, God didn't save us just to enjoy fellowship with each other. But there's a verse in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, which I hope will come up on the screen shortly, which talks about being created for good works. There it is, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We don't just come to enjoy fellowship with each other, but we've been created to do works for God. So, if Jesus was here in person today, I wonder if he would commend us in the same way for our individual service, as well as collectively as a church. Are you and I in the place that God wants us as far as serving God is concerned? So easy to come along on a Sunday and then forget it for the rest of the week. But God has given us work to do. There's an old hymn that says, there's a work for Jesus, none but you can do. So he commends them first for their service, and he also commends them for their separation. They took a stand on the side of morality. The evil that defined the world was not part of their lives. We are to be salt and light in this world. I think Nathan spoke on that just recently. There's a verse again in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing and I will receive you. We need to keep apart from those immoral things that are practiced in the world. We are to be salt and light. Our walk and our talk in our everyday lives should be an example to others that we love and serve the Lord. We cannot shine the light of Christ if our Christianity is a one-day thing. It's a challenge to me, and I'm sure to all of us, not just as a church, but as individual members. Would God commend us the way we live our lives during the week as individual members of our communities? So he commends them for their service, for their separation, but also for their standards. Another Bible verse, Romans 12, verse 2. And they stood against the Nicolaitans. It says there, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. This church was commended for standing against the Nicolaitans. As I said, I'm not going into those because they're mentioned again. But do we compromise our standards? This group in Ephesus did not compromise. The Ephesian believers refused to allow false doctrine to come into their fellowship. And if the teaching from the front does not line up with Scripture, we should refuse to accept it. Now, I'm sure that when we look at the church today throughout this country and throughout the world, we see that there are some churches that are watering the gospel down, watering the scriptures down. People with their own ideas. But in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, it talks about a group of people, the Bereans, and it says, now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness. They didn't just accept it. They examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. And maybe we need to look at the scriptures more to find out what things are true and what things aren't. What will God say today about our opinions, individual opinions as well as the church, and our doctrinal standards? Not only does he commend them for those things, the service, the separation, and the standards, but also he commends them for their steadfastness. The Ephesian church have been through difficult, tough times without compromising their beliefs. So on the surface, it would appear that everything was right. The church was doing everything good and in the right order, especially in the light of the verse in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, which says, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain." God commends this church. Would God commend us for all those things? We might think we're doing fine, but God was disappointed with this church in Ephesus. And the Bible tells us that God looks at the heart while we look on the outside. Now, the Bible tells us that the Ephesian church had lost its first love, and that was disappointing, to say the least. There are different ways in our lives, I believe, that we can leave or lose or forsake our first love. Maybe we can do our jobs, our duties, just out of duty and not with a real desire to please God. "You have left your first love," he says to the church. And the church, as we know, are Christians, not the building, but individual members. And this is to all the church, not just to one or two, but it's to every single church member. Maybe the desire and the keenness to continue growing in the knowledge of God had waned a bit. It could be that it wasn't the love and their zeal for God that had gone. But maybe they got the situation where they were putting the practical before the spiritual. Now, I know that there are many practical things that have to be done in the church. And it's good that we have people working and doing these jobs. But do we sometimes put the practical before the spiritual? I wonder what God would say about us as a church. I wonder if we very often say, we hear it said, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus want? But maybe we don't always act in that way. Maybe they weren't putting the practical before the spiritual. Maybe they just lost their desire to meet and pray and study and seek God's will for the work. I'm sure that you've heard it said, we've heard it said, that the prayer meeting is very often the least attended meeting. And I wonder why that is. You know, it's a challenge sometimes. It's so easy to make excuses. My mum always used to tell me that you can always make time to do things you want to do. Now maybe that's not completely true, but it certainly does is a situation that if we want to do something, we will do our utmost to do it. How do we act apart from in our study and our prayer life? I don't know whether they sought, it doesn't tell us how they'd lost their first love, how they'd forsaken God, but it does say that this is what had happened. Now I know everybody can't get to prayer meetings, I know there are genuine reasons why people can't come out to a service. It's all about priorities. Now, maybe it wasn't that. Maybe our prayer time is fine. Maybe we do meet together to pray when we can. So maybe it was something completely different. What about our awe and our reverence to God? I wonder, when we meet together, do we reverence God as we should? I'm sure if King Charles was here today, we would show him reverence. What about the King of Kings? Do we show him the reverence that we should? When the disciples said to Jesus in Luke 11, Lord, teach us how to pray, the first couple of phrases are, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed or holy be your name. A few months ago, Nathan was looking at Nehemiah. And on Nehemiah's prayer starts with recognizing the holiness of God. Moses and Aaron were told in Deuteronomy that they would not enter the promised land because they had broken faith with God and not upheld his holiness. So there were consequences of not recognizing and upholding the holiness of our Creator. Lots of references in Scripture to the holiness of God. In Psalm 99 we read three times, for he is holy. And it's right that when we come to prayer we thank him for all he is to us and does in our lives. But we must never forget that when we come into his presence, either individually or collectively, we come into the presence of a holy God. And we do need to show him that reverence. Because it's only because of what he has done for us through Jesus that we can come in to his presence. Maybe it wasn't that. Maybe it was something else. What else could it be? Maybe they were not giving financially like they used to. Malachi chapter 3 verse 8 talks about robbing God through tithes and offerings. And perhaps the Ephesian church were not giving like they were. Perhaps that had lapsed. Whatever it was, whatever the reason, they had lost their first love. But as we read through this chapter, it's great that God doesn't say, you've lost your first love, sort yourselves out. But he gives them a remedy. And when I was at school, RE used to stand for religious education. So I'm going to leave you with a few words. I think they're in the notice sheet as well, that begin with RE. The first one is remember. He wants this church to be fruitful and faithful like it had been. Remember where you've come from. Remember how keen you were to know and to grow. Some of us have been very fortunate to be brought up in Christian homes, although we may have rebelled when we were teenagers. Others perhaps have struggled and not been brought up in Christian homes. But God has brought you through to this particular place now, where you have accepted him as your saviour. Where have we come from? We've all come from different places, different times. And we should remember, go back and reflect on those days and remember what we've been saved from. Then he says, return, another RE, return. Return to me with a zeal and a passion, an awe and a reverence that you first had. Not only remember and repent, but repent as well. And this repent is a change of heart, a change of mind, which leads to a change of action. If we repent, we turn around the other way and go opposite. So when we've sinned, we need to repent. It's action. Words are all very well, but you know what they say, actions speak louder than words. Put God first, the Bible says, we shall have no other gods before him. So remember, return, repent, and rediscover our first love. We can sometimes go through the actions of worship outwardly without the act of worship taking place inwardly. And just as the church at Ephesus, we can be a very busy church too, serving ourselves, serving each other, serving the community. We need to rediscover our first love. We also see what will happen if the church doesn't go back to its first love, because it talks about a removal of God's power, a removal of the light. Now, I'm sure we don't want this to happen at SBC. And I believe God is at work here in this church. But I think we must be careful to learn lessons from not just this church at Ephesus, but all the other churches as we go through the rest of this year. And the final RE is a reward. Verse 7. God wants us to believe his promises. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I think it's worth sharing a sentence that I came across. It says we should listen and act upon God's word as if our life depends on it, because it does, both now and for eternity. As individuals and as a church fellowship, if we've left our first love, whatever characteristics it is, whether it's meeting together, our prayer and Bible study life as a church or individual, whether it's putting practical before spiritual, whether it's we've lost that awe, that wonder, that reverence. The Bible encourages us in Malachi chapter 3 verse 7, in Jeremiah, and also in Joel, as well as in other parts of the Bible. It says, return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. I'm not going to go into the rewards. All churches have got the rewards, but sufficient to say that the rewards are, I don't know what our rewards will be, but sufficient to say that it's for all those who have persevered and have endured hardship and yet have remained steadfast in the faith. There are so many people that perhaps become Christians and then after a while they drift away. We have to be steadfast, remain steadfast in our faith. Let's come to prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have given us a remedy for those times when we lose sight of you. We thank you that we can come into your presence, into the presence of a holy God, an awesome God, because of what Jesus our Saviour has done. Not only are you holy, but also a caring, loving, forgiving God. We pray that you will keep us as individuals and as a church from losing or leaving our first love. Help us to put you first in our everyday lives. We pray your spirit will be constantly at work in us, not only as an individual, not only as families, but Lord, as a church. And again, we continue to pray for Nathan, Anna and Alessia. And Father, we ask that as a church we might grow closer together, but more than that, grow closer to you as we understand what you are saying to us. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says, he who has an ear to hear, let them hear. Now, if anybody has heard anything from God today and they need prayer, over on the back right hand, my right hand, is the prayer corner. There will be prayer partners there to share with you. If you want prayer this afternoon or this morning, after the service, just go to the back and there will be people there who will pray for you.
Just for everyone knowing, Savannah and Kieran had a little boy.
Oh, lovely. Good. Thank you, Paul. So that's another baby we can pray for. And I understand that in a couple of weeks' time, Sula will also, she's in Portugal, she is due to have a baby as well. So remember these families in our prayers. And remember that we as a church, as well as individuals, need to be close to God so that we don't lose our first love. As the worship team come back to close our service, just again to remind you that there's a prayer corner at the back. Afterwards, teas and coffees. And also, if we have any strong people, not just men, but any strong people, we would like the baptistry opened after the morning service, taken through to the back, as we have a baptism next week. And also, Vicky has a school visit with some children tomorrow and wants to show them the baptistry as well. So if you can offer your help in any way whatsoever, thank you.
We'll end the service and sing to our Lord, King of Kings, Majesty. Just say the grace together. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
right?
Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Once again. For the first time.
Think upon your sacrifice, you became nothing important to death. Many times I've wondered at your gift of life, and I'm in that place once again. I'm in that place once again. Upon the cross where you died, I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you, once again I pour out my life. Now you to the highest place, King of the heavens, where one day I'll bow. But for now, I marvel at this saving grace, and I'm full grace once again. I'm full of praise once again. Once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you, once again I pour out my life. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. And once again upon the cross where you died, I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you, once again I pour out my life.
Thank you. Thank you for the gracias, amigos.
Thank you.
Thank
so much.
Thank you for your attention, you. Ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you and good night. Start the car.
This is a shame. I realised when I sat down there, I thought, oh, I'm turning that on then.
No, that's why you really got it.
That's why I've been, yeah.
You didn't have your mic for a while.